traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Upon assessing my performance, while I think I did save Rey Mysterio, I think I also almost killed Rey Mysterio. Are you out of your goddamn mind,
no,
Mike?
No, we're not.
You know we're going to get copyrighted.
We're not on the show yet. Are we? Is this a show?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe it is. You're right.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Me and Jeff were blabbering before you got here a little bit.
That doesn't surprise me, Mark. Always just talking about it.
We were just talking about how he puts his girlfriend in economy.
Whoa!
Again.
I thought you were saying a headlock. That's even more on brand. Actually, no, it doesn't.
Puts his girlfriend. She would put him in a headlock.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, spicy Latina. She's spicy.
What's going on? Welcome back, bro.
Thank you.
Why
Thank
were you.
You
at the hospital, honestly?
Dude, I was having these things that I don't know how to describe other than headaches.
I thought it was from wrestling. Did you get hit in the head wrestling or something?
No, that's the thing. That's the thing. So sometimes, I you know, as in any sport, boxing, wrestling, I'll hit my head. But my last match in Saudi Arabia where, you know, I won the U.S. championship against Rey Mysterio on the table. Let's go, champ.
Let's go, champ. For the first time ever, 7 years ago, almost to the day, there was a man at your house, a giant man by the name of Shannon the Cannon Briggs, and he said the sentence, "Let's go, champ." And from that day on, I never in my heart of hearts ever believed that that would be a true statement. But for now, for right now, we could actually call you champ, and it's true. It means something.
It's crazy. He sent the text to me this morning. Mike said, "Let's go, champ." And he said, "Oh my God, I can actually say that now."
Yeah.
But no, I didn't hit my head. It was a good, healthy, clean match, one fair and square.
You saved Rey Mysterio from breaking his neck and dying, right? Is that real or is that just like, did you have a PR team put that out there? Like,
all right, man.
Logan saves him from breaking his neck in the life of being paralyzed.
Look, I'm going to come clean because I seen all these positive headlines, right? Logan saves Rey Mysterio. The Mexican community is going crazy. They're praising me, saying I'm some sort of what's like hero in Spanish?
Sicario.
I'm some sort of Sicario.
Gringo Sicario.
White Sicario,
yes. Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, dang, I'm being recognized for doing something cool. I'll take it. But then I looked at the clip. And upon assessing my performance, while I think I did save Rey Mysterio, I think I also almost killed Rey Mysterio. I think I was too far back for the move, and I think he didn't clear enough ground for the move. That's what happened. Like, I was too far back, and he didn't clear enough ground. We both, I think, made a mistake, and I had to catch him. Mm-hmm. I had to catch him, and I wasn't going to not catch him. So, like, truthfully, while I like the headlines and I like being gassed up like this, I was just doing my job.
Yeah.
But I'll take it. I'll take the praise.
Well, if he would have jumped on me like that, he'd be toast.
Yeah,
you crush
him. Yeah.
You caught him. You did it, you know?
How much does that man weigh?
He's like 160, 165 maybe. Maybe even 170. He's thick. He's girthy. The tough part was when I caught him, I was in like a spider knee position. I have compromised knees, so like, I don't know. Maybe they could have snapped.
Such a funny sentence.
Damn, that's my weight too. So
sentence.
I could just jump off this thing and just surprise you out of nowhere.
But I get under you, Jeff. I catch you. And then I'd squat you up and then, you know.
Just dive at you.
Power slam you, brother. Here's what I do know, though, because people know this. I wasn't like a diehard WWE fan. I was a casual fan. I've always had so much respect for the sport. I always thought it was so cool. I had my favorite wrestlers growing up, but I wasn't watching Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown every day like some people are doing now, you know. But they asked me, like, what does this belt mean? Like, what is it exactly? And even to me, when I was an outsider, I don't think I really understood what the belts meant. And now that I'm in the industry and I'm learning from my peers around me, and I have such respect for the art of wrestling because it's by far the hardest thing I've ever done. It's much harder than boxing. Boxing is about navigating stress, I think, because the hard work comes natural for boxers. They tend to just, you know, get in the gym, do their work. But it's stressful. There's a lot of pressure. And if you can navigate stress well, which I can, wrestling's much harder because it's a 360 degree art. There are so many things involved in this sport that make it extremely difficult. So people ask me, you know, like, what's so special about the belt? What does it mean? And to me, it's a symbol of accomplishment and trust in the craft and the human. The WWE doesn't just give this belt to someone. It is them entrusting you with their publicly traded company worth $4 billion at the moment. Like, it's a big deal that they stamp you and are willing to say you're significant enough and have done enough disruption in our company for us to put one of our titles on you. There's only what, like four or five? Like, there's not that many of them, and there's a bunch of people on the roster. And so winning this for me was such a achievement, because in that moment when my hand was raised and they handed me this shiny, heavy belt, the United States champion, I just saw my whole life in front of my eyes, all my ups, all my downs, even from when I was a kid, from almost dying when I hit my head on a trampoline 1 inch away from my temple. I have a metal plate in my head now. The injuries I suffered in high school, writing down on a piece of paper, I will be the best, I will be a champion, I will be better, faster, stronger than I was last year, I will excel, and manifesting a future so bright that I didn't even know it was possible. Then all of a sudden, one day, I'm in Saudi Arabia performing for 10,000 people and millions at home, holding the United States champion, a homegrown kid who worked his ass off. And at one point in my life, when I was a little kid, held the little WWE belt on my shoulder. And now I have a real one that's mine. And it's a dream I never thought I could accomplish, because I just never thought it was possible. Like, what simulation are we living in? But it was such a special moment, because it's so symbolic of all the things I have overcome and how hard I've worked to be where I am today. Not just in the WWE. This podcast, the company, the hurdles, the fiance, wrestling, boxing, everything is culminated. And that is the physical embodiment of my hard work and the ups and downs I've had my entire life. And so that's why it's a big fucking deal.
I'll steal that shit from you right now.
You won't. You won't.
I'll take that shit right now.
Sure.
The springboard backflip that you did you practice that with him?
Springboard backflip. I have to say, holding Rey Mysterio in my arms and backflipping off the second rope is probably one of the craziest things I've ever done in my life. My dad texted me. He goes, you did a backflip holding a full-grown man in your arms from the second rope. And before I did it, I knew this was going to be a life moment for me. Like, Rey Mysterio, the greatest luchador of all times, is in my arms, and I'm about to send a backflip that I've never done before, to answer your question. I've never done that before, ever. we just sent it, and thank God it was okay. But whoa, that was the moment of the match where I think it happened so quick, and even the angles maybe didn't capture the intensity of it the right way, that people it may have went over some people's heads. But I want to keep going harder. That's my thing, and potentially my problem is I want to go like to the top rope for the next time. I want to jump off higher stuff. It's
two luchadors back.
I want to do two luchadors, one on the front, one on the back. Yeah. It's something that I can do in the WWE, because while I don't have the experience of my peers, I'd like to go to the PC and start training and maybe make some more appearances on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, so I can get that respect and maybe get that experience, even though I am late to the game. I'm extremely late. The one thing I can do, and I'm excited to do, is anything risky. I'm ballsy. I don't give a fuck. I will send it. I love entertainment. I will close my eyes and just go. And that can be risky, and I have to be reeled in sometimes by the producers and the people at the WWE. But like, I'm trying to do some Mick Foley type off the top of the cage onto a table from 30 feet high, Jeff Hardy type shit, Swanton Bomb. That's what I want to do. And I want to do it with the endeavor and pursuit of getting more belts, to be honest with you. Like, do I become tag team champion with Dominic Mysterio?
Love Dom.
Could be fun. You got two heels. You got two people who the audience loves to hate. And I like Dom. I like Dom.
We saw him say what up to you. Was there other talent that said what up to you?
Yeah. Another person who has just been so nice to me in the WWE is Cody Rhodes. Like, so nice to me. He was on this podcast. Just a great guy. He's awesome. And he gives me advice and helps me in words of encouragement and checks in on me. He's just like a awesome dude. Triple H gave me the kudos as well. It's just like an awesome organization. And I'm so happy to be a part of it, which is why I'm being arrogant and parading this thing around everywhere I go. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it. It's awesome. And people seem to really like it.
Which also pays off too for the WWE's investment, like to just have that always on marketing of the org and the belt too. Like, it's just so representative and emblematic of like why that signing was important to bring the WWE to the new to the next generation.
Yeah, that was that's why they signed me.
Like you just can't, but more so like going above and beyond and turning it into content, turning it into something that becomes like an everyday conversation, having that thing over your shoulder at the Prime event, like everywhere you go, it's a delivery method that a lot of the other stars couldn't perform because they're not always on day-to-day content creators. Does that make sense?
Sure. It's all I know. And they know that. Yeah. And they let me do what I want to do. There's no reeling me in. Like we have collaborative conversations and we build off each other, but it's nice to be able to have a boss. I'm an employee, make no mistake, but they let me do whatever I want. Yeah. As long as it obviously falls in, you know, a certain like healthy boundaries, but I don't feel reeled in.
Have they ever said no to you?
Have they ever said no to me? The first time I asked for a zipline, they said no. I have a couple ideas for some entrances that are a little harder. It's not like a no. It's like a hold that thought. Let me get back to you.
Yeah.
You know, but the answer is no. They're amazing. I love this company.
Did they know that you could do all those flips and shit? Did you like, how do you even know how to do all that shit? Did you do gymnastics or something?
Used to be acrobat.
No.
Circus. Like, no. How do you first backflip? Do you just try? Do you, like, if I just get up right now and try and backflip?
No, you won't do it.
Like, you either can, you can't.
I got to give shots to my papa for this one.
Oh, Greg Paul was backflipper.
Yeah.
No. He's not. No, my mother was a gymnast. She could do the flips.
Fifth place.
Very athletic. Oh, first place in the state in her. She got first place in her
and
team.
And it just kept going down.
Yeah, it kept going down. She kept losing. Yeah. But she still went to the state. But she's where I get the flippy type of flexibility athleticism from. My dad's the muscle. But when I was in high school, I was 18. I was like, my friend Mac Bilski started doing these backflips and he kind of taught me, but I was always afraid. And so me and my dad would go out front and practice on a mat, a wrestling mat, and he'd spot me and I'd do it and he'd, you know, throw my legs over, that's support my back, whatever.
Damn.
And then he goes, all right, do it again this time and I'll be right there for you. And I go to do it and he didn't touch me and I landed it by myself. And so I crossed that mental hurdle in my head of like, oh, I can do this. And then to do the backflip off of things, I started doing it into water recently. Like within the past 2 years, I learned how to backflip.
I remember
like
in Mykonos, off the roof. And you were like, Jeff, you could do this too. And I was like, I'm not even doing that into the pool.
Dude, I promise you can. Because 3 years ago, I saw, this is funny, Tfue backflipping off of bridges. You know the gamer Tfue? Yeah. He can like backflip off of high stuff. And it was cool. And I was like, how the fuck does this guy, I can backflip on the ground, but I can never do this.
Some people just have that shit.
No.
You and Tfue might be related somewhere along the way.
Yeah, that is true.
I'm telling you, you can do it.
Wait, are you Tfue?
As far as I know, I don't think so.
Backflipping. Can Jake backflip? Is it in the
blood? No, he can't.
Wow. Jake, dude, do you know the size of Jake's legs? Have you ever seen his legs? I don't know how I don't know how he's able to walk. I don't know how he basically has what is the equivalent of two light posts as legs. His calves are
big. Hams.
They're like completely implanted into the ground.
Cue dramatic music. Public service announcement. It's not a bird. It's not a plane. It's the most revolutionary ball trimmer the world has ever seen. Gentlemen, our friends over at Manscaped have been working night and day to bring you a below-the-waist grooming experience like none other with their brand new Performance Package 5.0 Ultra. Featuring the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, we're talking about a next-generation trimmer with interchangeable blade heads for whatever shave your mind can imagine. Upgrade your grooming game to the Ultra Sphere this year by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code LOGAN. High tech for low places. Manscaped. Inside this package, you'll find the star of this show, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth generation trimmer got two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. The Manscaped Boxers 2.0 and the Shed 2.0 Travel Bag bring your travel and comfort to another level. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Logan at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code Logan at manscaped.com. I can promise you've never seen a ball trimmer look like a spaceship. Get yours today from our folks at Manscaped.
I use that product to trim my nuts.
It's fantastic. Cool.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Back to the show.
So back to this brain injury, because we went on a double date last night, and I went out with a nurse that was at your, she's a nurse at your hospital that you went to.
Is she hanging out with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That concerns me.
That is true. What is she doing
with
me?
But listen, not with you. Not what is she doing with you? Oh, you're a great guy, Jeff. You're funny, charismatic, good looking, successful.
Hair, his hair.
Great hair. Your hair is amazing.
Because of the product.
I'm more concerned that she goes to the hospital after hanging out with Jeff with Tech for a night. You know, like, these are the people taking care of me.
Well, we were trying to get in there so we could do a prank on you and have like the doctor come in and be like, so I don't know how to tell you this, but you only have 48 hours left to live. No, and no. We were gonna really stick to it. But Mike told me not to do
well,
it.
Well, I told him, because what if we do that and you're just like, all right, fuck it, now's my chance to come clean. Nina, on March 22nd of last year, like some like crazy, I don't know. Like you just started saying shit, and then Jeff walks in like, it was just a prank, bro, and you're we ruined your life, and then you kill both of us.
Yeah, but that would have been a good prank, though.
I appreciate a good prank. As long as you said the following. It's a prank,
prank bro.
After you ruined your life.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Then I would be like, oh.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
We should have done it, because he doesn't even really have any.
I got nothing to lose anymore. Yeah.
What happened to your head? What is this?
Why does it only happen during intercourse?
I looked this up. Sex headaches. I think they're a thing. And so that's what I thought it was. Next thing you know, I'm on Fox Business live with Varney and Co. And 2 minutes into the interview, my head starts pounding. This old British gentleman, Varney, is asking me some questions about what stocks I invest in. That's what part it is. You can tell. You can tell in the interview. That's what part it is. He's
why were you and Varney having sex?
Me and Varney weren't having sex. I was on his show. On his show.
Because you had said that they happened during intercourse.
No, because that's what I thought. Okay. And then I'm live on air on Fox Business, and my head starts hurting, and I can't focus. I couldn't even answer his questions. He's like, what, mate, what you invest in, mate?
And I'm Australian?
Yeah, he's over there somewhere.
And you had one of those moments where you just blanked out?
I couldn't think. My head was about to pop. So I called my mom. She's like, yo, you got to treat this as an emergency. Get your ass to the hospital. Went to Mount Sinai. They hooked it up. I got to say, medical professionals, y'all rock. Y'all take care of people. You're saving the world. You make people feel healthy and good in their bodies. Like, they were so attentive and nice to me. And I gained a lot. I already had a lot of respect. But like, you forget how important these people are in society. And so like, to the doctors and nurses that took care of me in Mount Sinai, like, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, shout out to the nurses.
Yeah,
over there.
Jeff with Tech's hanging down all the Mount Sinai nurses.
No, just one. I mean, not even yet. It was just first date, but it's cool, man. It's cool just dating regular girls. You guys have superstar girlfriends here, but you know, not even to downplay her that she's a regular girl. You know, I just like that.
I'm gonna watch you dig yourself out of this.
That yeah. What am I doing? I you know, I'm having that headache that you were just talking about. Yeah. I think my brain just stopped working right now.
Do you know me and Jeff? At 3 a.m. last night or early this morning, we're standing right there.
Oh, yeah.
Literally right there. And this entire room here at Little Sister at the Moxie on the East Side, East Village, was packed.
Yeah.
Wall to wall with people. There was people at that table, athletes at this table, entertainers and actresses, rappers. Then there was a whole table of University of Miami kids. When every time I would look over, they would go like this. Because that's like the University of Miami symbol.
I thought it was like shoot a field goal with a paper football.
That too.
You know how we played with a little paper football, the little triangle? Kick it through like this.
One of the best games ever. Packed to the brim. And now we're here. Now we're sitting here doing a podcast in this place.
The first time I met Drake. Yeah. Drizzy Drake. Drizzy. I've told this story before on this podcast. Was right here where I'm sitting. I just looked around and engaged my location, exact location. It was right here. And he talked to me and was so nice. It was the first time I realized Drake off camera is potentially even better than celebrity Drake.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. It's a cool place. It's a really cool place.
It's crazy how different clubs look with the lights on.
it's kind of weird.
I had no idea until you just brought that up. And I don't even drink. I was in here sober last night. And I'm like, we were fucking here last night? Yeah. I was worried that you were out way too late. We already got two brain damaged guys on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
We need at least one. Sharp brain.
We found out that it isn't damaged. So like they thought maybe there was some brain bleed. I was in the hospital for 12 hours. I got home at 2 a.m. last night.
That's crazy.
Insane.
Even with the VIP service that I set up for you through Abe Warshaw and his great son, Judd Warshaw.
Shout out. Yeah, they did what's called a spinal tap on me. Do you know what this is?
Did it go in your anus?
Close. A little higher. Lower back in between your spinal vertebrae. They stick a needle in there and suck out what's called cerebral spinal fluid to see if you have any traces of blood in your brain that maybe the CAT scan missed. So that's what they did. My back is so incredibly sore today, partially from the spinal tap, partially from carrying the WWE promotion on my back this past week after winning the US championship. It hurts.
Do you know when you get that done, you can potentially start tripping on acid that you have stored in your spinal column?
Is that the thing?
Yeah.
No, I thought it was if you crack your back.
No, spinal tap's even more so because it's actually like breaking up whatever's in there.
I've done
I know.
Ungodly amounts of LSD.
Like, and you know where we are right now, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe that's cool that you figured out how to get like natural drug highs, you know? Like, I just came from a cold plunge and I'm fucking fired up. I feel alive right now. Like, there's a lot of things you could do in life.
100%.
Besides, like, your normal drugs, like MDMA, heroin, all that stuff, yeah. Just to get a nice, healthy boost.
You could do gambling.
You could just be breathing. You could do Wim Hof. You ever do that? Like, 30 breaths like that?
Yeah.
I did it with Lucas Mack, who works with your brother and does the breathing activities. I think I might do another 2.5-hour session soon. You're breathing so much that you put your body into, is it hypoxia? Is that what it is? Where you deplete all of the carbon dioxide? This could be completely incorrect.
I'm not a teacher.
But basically, you breathe in such a way and your arms and limbs become curled up. You remember it. And you cry like a little baby and you have like a breakthrough just from breathing, bro. You go to another fucking dimension. I saw things. I heard things that weren't there just from breathing. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to use lysergic acid.
There you go.
It's hard. It's called breath work, though. You really got to work. You got to like lay on the floor and breathe and hyperventilate. It could be dangerous, though. If you do it, don't sit on something high. Jake was doing breath work with that dude before his fight, a week before his fight, and he was seated on something high, like a table or a platform or something. Passed out.
Tipped over.
Broke his fucking nose.
Yep. Damn, face he plant, was high.
Broke
as
his
fuck.
Nose. High as shit. Passed out. Yeah. So just be careful.
Some people say that meditation and breath work like that actually can get you higher than drugs, like higher than any drug out there if you master.
I want to go breathe after this. I'm on my breath right now. I'm going to get high after this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, actually, a question. Since you are sober, right? And by the way, good job. You've been sober for as long as I think I've known you, or damn near. You're always sober when I see you. You get your highs in other ways, like running, maybe even.
Yeah, yeah.
You just ran the New York Marathon.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, Jeff.
Yeah, it was so sick. Thank you,
guys. I got you a gift.
Did you, for real?
Celebratory gift. It's a big deal, Jeff. Congratulations.
What? Congratulations. A bouquet of flowers?
Really? Oh,
No way.
Yeah.
Thank you. Damn, that's dope. I should have worn my medal on here. Yeah, that's right. I won the New York City Marathon.
Cool.
Super great experience. You know, it was tough. I had bronchitis the week leading up to it, but, you know, we got through it, and it's such a dope experience. I think, you know, I just want to give any advice to anybody out there that thinks about running, thinks about signing up for a marathon, just do it. Just sign up. You'll get it done. Just run really slow and just don't stop, you know? But such a sick experience. New York City, everybody comes out on the streets. They come together. They're just cheering for everyone. Like, there's no beef. It's just such a crazy experience.
And are you happy with your time? What'd you get?
3:55.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really
good. I would have liked to get a little faster, but I wasn't really putting in the proper training. You know, I just kind of winged it. And I'm going to come back next year, and I'm going to try to smoke Cody Ko. See, this is like my influencer boxing, yeah, you know? Because yeah, I can't get in a fight because the eye, I can't get a sanctioned fight. So this is what I do now to get that out, you know? So
yeah.
Cody Ko, next year you're going down. You're taking everything I work for, motherfucker. Yeah. I want to race your fucking ass. Yeah.
What do you get?
He beat me by 5 minutes. Or like something like that.
You could beat him. Y'all are like neck and neck.
Yeah, yeah. And well, I don't want to put in like built-in excuses saying that it was the bronchitis going into it, which I did do that. I did make built-in excuses, but he is fast. He does put in the work. He's got a training channel. It's dope what he's doing, man. If you could inspire people to just, you know, anybody get out there and run, you just need a pair of running shoes, you know? Like I wouldn't want to tell people to get out there and fight. That's what I want to do, and that's what, you know, you do. But that's not the best advice to give people. You know?
I think there's a lot of, I think that's what I'm saying. I got to rebut.
I have running shoes. I can't do that.
He can't run. There's a lot of legless people that are like, I can't
run.
People did wheelchair. They do wheelchair stuff.
Is that true?
You should do a wheelchair.
Parathon, I think it's called.
Yeah.
I may have made that up. A paramarathon? A parathon? It's like Banada. I'm really good with contractual words.
Yeah, it works. Is there a chance I could run the marathon and push Mike in the wheelchair all the 26.2 miles?
Like collaborative effort?
No, I don't think they do that. You could get a wheelchair though, and you could compete against a wheelchair. Imagine you get beat.
What about smoked by all
the wheelchairs?
What about crutches? They're serious athletes. What about crutches?
That would be
marathon.
Hard. That would be very hard.
You know, Casey, our guest from
Next week? Casey Neistat, next week's guest.
Do you know what his time was?
3:01. He got 3:01.
But his Strava app said that he did better, and I told him he should just go by the Strava app then.
We're going to submit an appeal for that time. all the boxers do nowadays.
Many appeals.
Fuck it, just appeal everything. You know, I'm going to appeal my time, too.
Might as well.
Yeah, but Casey killed it, man. 3:01, and at his age, you know, he's out of his physical prime. He had that car accident that, like, broke his femur. He has a metal rod in his femur.
Same as me.
Yeah, so what's your excuse? Casey's putting up personal best, lifetime best.
It's just the ankle. That's the problem. It has so much arthritis in it. I got to get it worked on. Do you guys ever struggle with noise at all, like sounds keeping you awake?
Like you talking all the time?
Yes, or just any kind of sound like that on airplanes, like that type of stuff.
I put on white noise or stuff to go to sleep.
Bingo.
But what if the noise is so loud that white noise doesn't even cancel it out? Like, for example, if you're in a hotel room and there's something going on in the room next door.
Noise canceling AirPods playing the white noise.
I was in that spot at 3 a.m. last night, as I told you earlier. This morning at 7:30 a.m., there was a kid in the room next to me who wouldn't stop screaming out the window, "This is New York! Concrete jungle where dreams are made of!" Bro, every 5 fucking minutes, I could not drown it out. I have multiple times either gone up to a person's door, because I get very angry. I get very angry. I get angry at babies on planes. I address these issues. I address them.
You address
directly.
The baby?
I have, yes.
You've addressed the baby.
Yes, it didn't work. I don't think he was able to understand what I was saying. But I usually go to the door or I smash on the wall. Yo, cut it out. And this morning, you know how I've been doing the magnets on my brain?
Yeah.
It's been altering the way I think about things. I'd be going down in these rabbit holes. Remember when I asked you about camping in the woods by yourself?
Yeah.
On the last episode? Well, when that was happening today, my next thought was, well, what if I bang on the wall and find out that the kid's autistic? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if the parents are like,
that would happen.
My son's fucking autistic, bro. Like,
that's
he's exactly trying to shoot a he's trying to shoot a TikTok. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? An autistic TikTok video right now to send out to his friends. So I didn't do it, but I laid there and then I.
Oh, that's a clip right there for TikTok. I saw the booger shoot out onto the mic. Damn, bro. That's the highlight of the episode right there.
I don't even want to finish the story.
If you're listening to audio, switch over.
No, no one's listening to audio. It's only a video audience, bro. Like,
how bad was it?
I have a cold. I'm sick.
You're sick, and I'm sitting next to you?
So embarrassing.
Shut up.
I'm the U.S. champ, bro. Respect me.
Motherfucker, I will frog
splash
the shit out of you.
Yeah. Damn. Back to back embarrassment. The snot rocket, and then he got punked after.
Maybe you should have picked your nose. So that didn't happen.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Cut that part out.
No, Mike, stand up for yourself.
I don't want to stand up right now.
Because he can't stand up because his ankles.
It's not that. I'm tired. And the reason is because of this kid.
So was he autistic?
I kept going down this rabbit hole. A thought popped into my head. What if I'm autistic? No, I'm not.
Let's cut to an apology right now.
No. Listen.
We made a terrible lapse of judgment. What was it, Logan? What did you say? a moment. Just do it, bro.
I can write it for you, Mike.
I'm
severe and continuous.
I'll write it for you, Mike.
And it got me thinking even further to a time when I was in school as a kid. Because nowadays, you know how there's that show Love on the Spectrum? And they have that spectrum.
Yeah, fantastic show.
And they have that spectrum of autism. I was such an interruptive kid that I'm positive if I grew up in the 2000s, they would have been like, yo, your son is autistic, bro. Because I couldn't sit still. I would just have outbursts in class. Like they'd ask me for the answer of a math question. I'd be like, unicorn. You know what I'm saying? Just do dumb shit. I'd have outbursts, right? So then.
You started singing out the window. You should have joined.
Joined him. No, then I started thinking even deeper. I was really getting into my head.
Yeah.
Because when I was in fourth grade, they put me into the gifted program for highly intelligent individuals. And I would have to go to an after school program. And I came to a conclusion. What if my teachers and my parents were lying to me and I was not going to an enrichment program for gifted students? But I was simply going to a class for autistic kids.
It's entirely possible. I will say autistic kids are often gifted.
They go hand in hand.
Oftentimes.
Gotta be. Yeah.
I'm sorry. The magnets, they're working in certain ways, but other times maybe not.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a scam.
Are you getting scammed?
What are they connecting to those magnets? Like, I have metal plates all on the side of my face. If I get those magnets put on there.
No, it would rip the mat. You wouldn't be able to do it. No, so basically, it's shooting the magnets into the neurotransmitters that produce feel-good chemicals, dopamine and serotonin. And it's like reinvigorating those nerve endings. And so they did a test when I first went to see how much they had to use. They do a motor threshold test where they put a magnet in and if my hand moves, that's the motor threshold. And they retested it last week and that threshold had gone down. So they said that means that they're working because it takes less stimulation.
It's a scam, bro.
Yeah, it seems like a placebo.
He said that you're doing good. You're going to be fine. You're doing great.
But go back to the marathon. Just count me out maybe for a couple plays.
Look, New York City Marathon, best experience of my life. I'm going to do it again next year. You should do it, Logan.
It's on my bucket list to run a half marathon. I don't know about a full marathon.
Those are the perfect distance because I was flying for the first half marathon, 7-minute miles the whole way. I was on track to smoke all my competition.
That's insane.
And then 17 miles in, I hit a wall. I'm like, holy shit, I'm going to pass out here. And now it's do I want to finish fast and risk
like falling down and getting all cut up and have to get ambulanced off or something. I don't finish the race, like how embarrassing that would be. You know, so like I was like, all right, I got to take a second to walk. And of course, the second I stop to walk, I see fans with signs. And I'm just like, this is the worst. Like, I'm just letting these people down. I talk all this shit about running. I do, this is what I do. You know, I'm supposed to be able to just power through this. But I'm a human, you know? I had my AirPods on. As soon as I stopped to walk, I take them off. Jeff. And they're just looking at me like, what the fuck?
Oh, man. They saw you quit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then but they give you that motivation out there. You know, like they make you give it everything you got and more. Like, I'm spent. I feel like I'm going to die. I get on the phone. I call my mom mid-race.
What?
And she's like, Jeffrey, what are you doing? Aren't you in the race? And I'm like, Ma, I think I'm going to die. And just people screaming for you. They cheer you on. And it just gets you going. It's crazy how people just come together and support each other. Like, if you're running next to me and you're struggling and I don't even know you, like, I'm gonna try and, you know, help you out,
push you along.
Yeah, push
that's
you.
That's why I like Barry's boot camp. I've been going to Barry's boot camp
for real.
Yeah. Dude, I like it. It's, I didn't expect to like Barry's
is
boot
this
camp.
A Nina thing.
She was like, yo, do you want to try this class? It's like 45 minutes in and out. I was like, yeah, all right. Like, the she's like, this is what you do in New York City.
I could just imagine Logan like with this belt and he's struggling.
I bring
like
the belt
to like he just, you know, his cardio, he just can't get something done. And there's like this old lady like, you got this. You
that's know? What happens. We're all there to support each other. The light's red. The music's bussing. Like, it's a good environment. Like, people around you working out and also struggling is inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
What are you doing? What is at Barry's boot camp? What do you do there?
They need to pay me some money, Barry's. You owe me, or at least give me like a lifetime.
But just
membership.
give me a.
It's
overall.
Like a HIIT workout, like high intensity burpees.
Yeah, you go. You go from the group goes to from the floor to the treadmill, and then they swap. So then you do run, and then you can't. You wouldn't be able to do it.
No, I could make a couple seconds.
It's not a couple seconds though. It's like a 45-minute quick. It's good, but I like the environment. It's for that reason. People cheering me on. My thing with marathons that I think would be difficult would be the sheer amount of miles there are. I've only ever ran 8 miles in a row. That's the furthest
M&M.
I've ever run.
Yeah. You only get one shot.
Yeah. Right.
Eight mile.
Oh, nice.
As soon as I hit mile 8 too, I put on that soundtrack.
Really?
It was bad though, because then I just started fucking sprinting. I got all fired up, and then it's not good for
marathons.
That's
why you had to walk at 17. But see, if I hit mile 17 and I started walking because this is hard, you still have 9 miles to go.
That's the worst math
I've ever run. Like, that sucks, dude.
Yeah, if it's like you're at like mile 20 and it's like 6 to go or like whatever, just when it's 17 and you're like, all right, I'm at 17, almost there. Wait, 9.2 more? That fucks
your head
up. Where
does the wall usually happen? Like, what's the average?
It's around 17. Usually everybody hits it around there. You know, yeah, that's where it happened. But, you know, fucking the rest of it, I just zoned out. I didn't even know where I was at. I don't know what, like, because you go through each borough. It starts in Staten Island, just like my life. You know, you go over the Verrazano Bridge and then you're in Brooklyn and it's quiet on the bridge. And then you get off and it's just everybody, you hear the crowd roaring, just like rumbling. And yeah, it's just like each borough, you see new people and they're like, welcome to the fucking Bronx, you know?
Sick.
But I didn't know where I was at.
Where does
I was
it
just
end?
Like, it ends in Central Park.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
You see, speaking of New Yorkers and just like that New York energy, you see tracks, New York City, call out one of our prime employees, Matt Zucco.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I sent you the video.
Did you watch it?
No.
Yo.
can you explain it to me?
Matt Zucco, the most like nice. Docile, yeah. Nice... hardworking prime employee. Like, this guy comes with us on all our trips, sets up all our activations and stuff. He's a great guy. He's a great teammate. Great employee. He's awesome. Pissed off this dude Trax NYC, who I believe is like a famous jeweler here in New York. He does TikTok content. He's the guy who
he hands out the gold.
Hands out, like,
yeah,
he does cool content and he makes a lot of our stuff. He makes the prime chains. He does a great job.
I think he was in Uncut Gems. Was he?
Yeah. Was he?
No yeah, they way. Got a lot of real jewelers to be
oh,
in.
Oh, that's
that.
Awesome. Oh, that's cool. But yeah, he made a TikTok video. Like, he's like, this motherfucker, Matt. I made this gold bar for him because we're doing our prime activation with the gold prime, the $500,000 gold prime, which he made. And he's like, Matt told me to go fuck myself and sent me to the back of the line. I'm getting jumped on. So, Matt, come pick up your fucking gold, motherfucker. And I'm like, yo, what kind of miscommunication happened here where he went full New York on the most calm dude you could meet? But it got like, this video's got like 3-4 million views. Matt's getting harassed on his LinkedIn. His life's over because the tracks. The fans found him, dude. And he got this brick of gold because to do the test to melt the gold bottle, it comes in this weird shape. Like when the gold is dissolved in the vat of acid, it's like gone. You have to do like reverse osmosis to get it back. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the Golden Prime, if no one gets it and solves this code for this pop-up shop that we have in New York and London, by the end of 48 hours, the gold will be dissolved, like truly dissolved. And so, yeah, there's some sort of miscommunication.
Wait, so it's actually gone. The acid, you can't bring that gold back?
As far as I know, this is what Mark Rober said, who built it. You can bring it back, but it's a very expensive process that costs just as much as the gold. So you essentially net zero. You'd have gold, but you just spent $1 million.
Well, what's the update? Has anybody won the bottle yet?
No one's won the bottle. The contest will be over in like less than 24 hours. Someone will maybe have won. Maybe the bottle will be dissolved. We'll see. But yeah, it's for the billionth prime bottle, which is crazy. It's a lot. That's so much prime.
We already clapped twice on the episode today. Usually I would clap for that because you won the championship and Jeff won the marathon.
Well, we can clap for it. Prime just sold the billionth bottle.
As seen on Forbes and Bloomberg and other
Dude, I did some traditional media. That's part of the reason we're here in New York. Some mainstream media, you know. And I'm always hesitant to do mainstream media because they like to take stuff out of context. Mm-hmm. They like to paint you in a negative light. I did Good Morning America and they actually... They did us justice. They told our story. And of course, she asked me about marketing to children. She said, she's like, you know, what do you have to say about marketing to children? I'm like, children, damn.
What is there to say about it?
Well, that's you know, Chuck Schumer's claim, right? He's like, you know, they're targeting kids. And so we
Is that bad to target kids?
For an energy drink, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for an energy drink, yeah, for sure. But, yeah. Oh, so she was talking specifically about that.
She was talking
not
about
the hydration.
Prime energy. But they often conflate the two, which is why I've continually harped on, and this is point A. You got to make the distinction between the two products. I don't know how to tell you this. I'll say it again 1,000 times on a broken record. One's in a can, it says energy. It's 18 plus, it's marketed that way. One's in a bottle, it's hydration, it's available for all ages. That's just how it is. If you're just drinking random stuff, you're putting it in your body and not reading energy drink on it or 18 plus on it, like, I don't know if it's a parenting thing. I don't know what it is, but that's the claim, right? And she asked it on Good Morning America. It's a fair question. Chuck Schumer brought it up. He made it a whole nationwide headline thing. And, So I gave her, I came with data. That's the thing. Because you can say marketing to kids, but let's break it down.
Receipts.
Came with receipts. Marketing to kids. Okay. Where do we market? Social media. Social media creators. Social media first brand. That's where we market our product. Primarily, I'd say 95% of the time. So what are the demographics? We can look. We have those answers. What are the analytics? 90% of my audience is above the age of 18. 93% of Prime's audience on the Instagram page is above the age of 18. So... not only is saying marketing to children simply untrue based on the product or the platform where we market our product, we also put 18 plus disclaimers on Prime Energy. So I the clip went on Twitter and this dude, Rob, commented back. And I don't know why I engaged with this guy or like anyone on social
mistake
media.
Mistake number
that's,
one, I, yeah. Dude.
but like, you know, I'm hoping that Maybe one of these guys would be like, you know what? I am a fucking idiot.
Nope, not gonna happen.
Now I realize that. He said, he responded to it. He said, how many kids under 18 can sign up for Instagram? Instagram restricts it to 13 and over. I can tell you that my elementary school child and her school all talk about your drink. So going off of Instagram tells half the story. I responded, my bad. We've been accused of marketing to children. If I just showed you that 90% of my audience is 18 plus on the platform where we market our product, please enlighten me. What half of the story am I missing, Rob? My point is that the product is beyond an Instagram platform. I know kids ages as young as 10 are asking to have Prime. To say 90% of your demographic is 18 and above isn't correct. Do a basic YouTube search.
Well, yeah, also...
But I just showed you that. I just showed you, Rob.
People say, like, they could be lying about their age on YouTube and Instagram. That's, like, the common, comeback to this.
We can only do so much.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be something to be said about everything, but as a brand...
Have you ever tried, like, not caring?
It's tough when you have...
Like, dude, like... I don't know. It's crazy to me. I guess for the rest of the Prime team, but like for you, you know by now that if you, like Mr. Beast, go build 1,600 wells in Africa make sure that kids there have water or whatever the number was, that someone's going to...
Yeah, that was fucked up that he
someone's
did
gonna
that.
Blame.
That was fucked up that he
no,
did
No, that's
that.
What I'm saying.
How dare he?
No, his problem, his mistake was he did it while white. That was what he got canceled for. He was too white to solve the problem. That was literally what that's what the pushback was. They said, "What, you think we need a white person to, like, have you not figured out by now that it does not matter what you do? You could stop every conflict, you could fix every problem, you can cure cancer, and you will always be the worst person on the planet." And the sucky part about that, just to be completely frank with you, is I'm just the worst person on the planet's friend. I don't even get any of the fucking money, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you think I fucking feel? They call, turn to me, they're like, your best friend fucking markets this fucking poison to children. I'm like, bro, what do you
snake oil.
Fucking tell him?
Even that thesis is fucking crazy. Poison.
It's poison. Delicious.
It's tasty. It's a better for you product. That's why we made it. Go drink a Gatorade. Yeah, go ahead. Consume 36.
Yeah, drink a Celsius.
No, I want you to go do it.
Nah, go drink 36 grams of sugar, more than 3 Krispy Kreme donuts in one setting, and what, like 100 plus calories? Like it's crazy. It's archaic. We made a product that is legitimately better for you and fills an important niche in the market that for whatever reason just hadn't been disrupted properly. But. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. You're the worst person ever. Oh, yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, worst person ever. No, yeah, and on Good Morning America.
They said that?
We had a 20-minute interview with this girl. Eva was her name. And, you know, they only used, of course, 20 seconds of it in the final thing. We had a great conversation. This girl was very sweet. And she asked me, she's like sitting there and talking with me. And she's like, you know, like, a lot of people hate you. I'm like, yeah, you know, I hate myself sometimes. but one thing I didn't push back and maybe I should have is, while that's true, there's also an overwhelming amount of positivity and love.
Where are you seeing this?
Yeah.
I only see a bunch of hate. Okay.
All right, I got a question. Your sister
WWE changed everything.
What do you mean?
The WWE people love you, bro. Like, heavy. No, sorry. I was kidding about this. There are some people that obviously someone likes you.
Of course they do,
bro.
Michael, I'm the U.S. champ.
Yeah.
I'm the U.S. champ. I won fair and square.
Sorry, I just woke up. I didn't even know we were doing the show until like 2 minutes ago, bro. I was asleep at the wheel. That shit is crazy, bro. Like, actually, I really want to say that quickly. Like, the WWE shit is like awesome.
I don't need you to gas me up. I liked it better when you talk shit about me.
Meat rider.
Fucking dick rider. Nah, but your sister messaged me and she said something to me.
What she said?
That made me open my eyes. Cause I think by addressing or like paying attention to or even giving the, oh, a lot of people hate you, any merit is doing a discredit to people who like what I do. And people who listen to the show, people who are inspired or entertained or decide to pursue their dream because they saw me do it. Like, there's a lot of love. There is a lot of positivity.
Bro, no one cares about that stuff.
I never get the hate in real life, ever, because social media is not real life. And your sister messaged me. She's like, how can you have 90 million followers plus and have a multi-billion-dollar hydration company if everyone hates you?
Maybe
does that math? Does that make sense?
Maybe they're drinking it because they hate you. You ever think about that before? Like, have you ever seen someone angrily drink Prime? I bet you they do it. Like, what if somebody's like, fuck this kid, do this bullshit, better for you beverage, a billion bottles. Well, you know what? I'll be a billion in one. Eat that, asshole. And they chug it and fucking piss all over the floor in the kitchen.
Now, there's, you know what I'm saying? That could be happening. You know what? All jokes aside, there are so many more worse people on the internet than you, Logan. Jeff. Especially right now. Jeff. You know? Jeff. You've just been in this game too long.
No, but Jeff. Man, you're still putting me in a bucket of like scumbag.
We have like rap sheets of felonies that we have. And we're like, you're the bad guy.
No, that's crazy.
Mine were expunged.
Nah, because no, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to say, what have I done? And people are going to comment below who bought into some false narrative that some clickbaiting, misleading, biased YouTuber convinced you is true. And the one thing that I think I have on my side is the truth. And the truth will always prevail.
Man, this I really believe that. Fest, bro. You're a bill. Who gives a fuck, dude? Who cares?
I'm just saying.
You're the U.S. champ.
I am.
Not to gas you up, because at the end of the day, keep in mind, I don't have the belt. I don't have the money. I'm just I'm the shitty person's best friend. So I'm not trying to do anything here. You know what I don't like? That women have a bargaining tool and a negotiating chip that we don't.
Nipples?
Close. The vagina.
Yeah.
They could wiggle their way out of any scenario, bro. Like, I'm sure you've been in a situation like this before.
Oh, this is Velcro? I always thought it like clicked in.
Do you have some sort of problem? Like actual issue?
I just want to blast somebody in the head with it, you know?
I'm gonna, for sure. I put my junk all over that.
Oh, yeah, here.
Wait, does someone else win that after you? Or do you get, I know they win it after you.
If I can help it, brother.
What is the future for the
What's the future
champion?
For the U.S. champ?
Yeah.
I don't see my title reign ending here. Wait, what were you saying? You saying girls could wiggle their
Yeah, I just think that's unfair, bro. Like, I get in a huge fight with my girlfriend, and I'm like, I'll go to bed like, dude, I got a full game plan for the next morning, dude. I'm going to approach her. I'm going to say X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking handle this shit, bro. She's not going to be doing this shit no more. And you wake up and you just look over and then all of a sudden, you know, you start to feel a little tingling, you know, and all that argument, all that stuff just goes right out the window. You forget about all the bad stuff. Men are fucking slaves, bro, to that. You really got to be a big man, a big shot to be able to overlook the power of the pussy, bro. Do you guys ever fall victim to it?
It's called mastery. You know, it's mastery.
I thought you were going to say masturbation. That is a good way to get around it.
Too,
you know, if you're really thinking like, fuck, I got to do this shit, you know, just go jerk off, you know?
You're actually right. I noticed back in my single life, if I wanted to really focus and zone in on my game and myself, and that hustle,
just whack off.
Whack off all the time.
What if that's a sin?
Is it possible to ask for forgiveness for committing that particular
sin?
Yeah,
100%.
And what does that sound like? I'm just curious.
I'd like to confess for my sins. One of those is masturbating. It's kind of a weird conversation to have with God. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I'm asking. I'm
well, also, it's kind of a strange scenario, too, because I'm not sure. Like, I've asked many people about this. There's no real, like, Bible verse that deals directly with, like, self-pleasure. Like, I once asked our Christian expert friend, George, about this. And he told me that it's not a sin as long as you're not lusting while you're doing it. So, basically, you have to be thinking about, like, household items. Does that make sense? Like, you can't be thinking about pork in your neighbor. You know what I'm saying? You have to really just think about just like maybe just white noise or like space. You know what I'm saying? If you can do, because there's no direct.
That sucks, dude.
I know. It's really hard. So then when he told me that, because I have like moral OCD where I feel like I'm doing something wrong a lot. And so, like, I wanted to try to jerk off while thinking about, like, a ladder.
Tough.
And it didn't work, bro. You know? Have you ever played with a slinky before?
Mm-hmm.
That you could jerk off to a slinky.
No, because that's then your penis becomes one, bro. And then you had me at the top of the stairs. Like, I wonder if it'll go to the bottom. You know what I'm saying, dude? I don't know, dude. Like I said, the magnets. I got an excuse, bro. Y'all just do the show, bro. Leave me the fuck alone. Unless you want to abuse me, assault me, verbally accost me. Turn to me, make fun of me, and go back to your conversation.
Your sister messaged me, too.
Don't you ever bring up my sister. Don't you ever bring up my sister, you scum fuck.
Nah, she didn't. I was going to make something up, but...
Your hair is just...
It's no good right now?
No, it's great.
It's crazy.
It's so high. You have the highest hair.
I gave away my hair products. So there's like just residue in there right now. Old residue.
Just getting just higher handing them out. Second.
Yeah. It's the running, you know? Where's that PDF? What else? What's going on in the news?
It's all lame. I was asking Nina beforehand. I'm like, give me some like pop culture current events. She's like, okay. Travis, Kelsey, and Taylor Swift...
Nah,
went to a restaurant. I was like, cool. Nah, she's like, Harry Styles shaved his hair.
Nope. Did he? Oh, damn.
What? See, I passed on that. I didn't think anything of that.
That's a big deal.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, buzz cuts are in.
Well, we ain't getting no help from our fucking producer, I'll tell you that much. Nah, what cheating thing? Who's cheating?
Oh, that was very funny.
Oh, that was funny. No, and the way he said it, Dylan, thank you for that. But I will say that was a good input. It's not on the PDF.
Do we have a PDF?
Well, yes, we do have a PDF.
I get it.
Can I tell you what the majority of the PDF is? Just the Grammy nominees listed. There's no content. I see it, Dylan. I see it. But what I'm saying is Grammy nominations are announced. Coco Jones and Gracie Abrams.
Oh, the whole thing is just Grammy noms.
Look.
It's just best record of the year, album of the year.
Dylan, I'm kidding. But also, what the fuck, bro? Okay. Tristan Thompson on cheating. This actually was dang.
This is funny.
He just said, when I cheat, I feel disgusted the next day. he said it like contextually to like a pattern. Like whenever I cheat, I feel gross the next day. He talked about it the way I talk about Taco Bell when I sit on the toilet after I ate it the night before. You know what I'm saying?
And you're like, going to do it again. Man. You're going to do it again.
You know what I'm saying?
Just absolutely no learning, no takeaway.
Yeah, no, I'm going to get there. Have you? I don't have to ask him, though. That's the thing. There's a question here. Have you ever cheated or been cheated on?
Let me say this. If I have, why would I say it on this fucking show?
The reason I asked you as a yes man and a fucking LP meat ride dick sucker is because I know that you never have. So you're supposed to answer that. Have
I know,
you cheated?
But I'm saying it's crazy that it's on the PDF. Because who on this show would be like, I have cheated, Jeffrey, unless you're Sophia Franklin.
Jeff, what? Have you cheated before?
Nah, but there was this one time in Colombia, but it don't really count. Because
oh, was it paid? It doesn't count. Paid? Yeah, like prostitute.
No, I didn't get a prostitute. No, it was just like,
farmhand?
It was like a Penelope Cruz type of looking, you know, girl, and I'm a big fan of that movie Blow, so I felt like I was Boston George.
Oh, so you
know?
weren't, so you weren't you when you did it?
I was like in character. Yeah, I was living in a movie.
I've not cheated. I don't plan on cheating. No. But I've been cheated on.
It's
shitty. It's shitty. I you know what though? It wasn't a physical cheating. It was like an emotional texting thing.
That sounds like something a liberal would say.
No.
You got text cheated on?
Yeah, she was like setting up trips with like these guys in Dubai who are like, send me a passport, will you have fun and money?
Yeah, she needs dough.
But she's dating me.
I'm kidding, bro. But also,
She was texting Zayn Malik.
Yeah, but she didn't do it. No, I mean, I hear.
She was sick.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
She was like, wow, thanks for the Z-Pack. That's so great. And then I seen she was texting Zayn Malik, and Zayn sent her a Z-Pack. She was like, thanks, Zayn. No one's ever done this for me before. You're such a cutie.
No way.
That's cheating.
Yeah, that part. I didn't know about that part.
I saw this video on YouTube the other day. It's about yachting. It's like super star celebrities that get paid like insane amounts of money. So basically everyone's a hooker in the whole world. Like everyone's a prostitute. Everybody has a number.
Yeah.
And there's like these guys in Saudi Arabia with oil money that would give you like, you know, like a crazy number.
Yeah.
Like how much would it take you to fuck a dude? Honestly, don't say nothing because there's got to be a number. Like you, it fixes your brain. You don't have to do as magnets anymore. And you could like,
oh, not even monetary. There's a scientific outcome.
Anything. Yeah.
They'd probably pay for it.
How are they going to facilitate something? Like, how would they facilitate something like that?
The names they dropped in this video, I've like Kylie it, Jenner,
bro,
does
I've seen
it.
It.
Like,
I understand.
What, she's a billionaire. What does she need? You know?
We've heard this before.
100%.
We've heard this before.
There's a catalog sent via WhatsApp and private WhatsApp messages with a price tag on some of your favorite actresses, models in the world. And Jeffrey, I will tell you this.
It's fake.
Is it?
Yeah, it's fake. It's not real.
I guess it's...
It's not real. I'm telling you it's not real.
Some would say that you have a problem with reality. And I would agree with all of those
people. You think Kylie Jenner.
I'm one of the people in your comments.
You think Kylie Jenner.
No. I didn't say Kylie Jenner is a billionaire.
Yeah, but he says she's
no, on the list. Wasn't talking about her. No, not his list. You know what list. I'm talking about the other one that fucking...
Oh, that seen. List could...
That's what I'm
could
saying.
Could be real, but there's also people on that list where it's just not real, Mike.
Everybody's got to start somewhere. You know?
That's what it was. These girls are huge now.
Yeah, where do you think she got the money to start the lip kit?
Can a girl just be successful though?
100%. We're not saying it
happens.
No, we're not.
I just watched a YouTube video. I'm just saying what I saw. You know, I'm not saying that.
No one said we created the fucking Discord. It's just it was shown to us, and someone said some very large stars. And by the way, the numbers weren't that high. They were relatively affordable. Like even potentially a doctor.
This whole conversation about black market high-end prostitution is a wild
thing. I think it's a terrible thing that needs fixing.
Well, maybe you don't have to like go fully like fucking have sex with some.
Well, now that he said that, it's just
like big fat hairy old dude, you know. Maybe you just got to hang out there or something and be like naked. I don't know what
yeah,
the rules are.
Like something light like that.
Yeah, but I feel like everybody's got to have like some number, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's a fair conversation.
This PDF's actually not that bad. I want to. I know I don't do this much. I am very self aware. I want to take a second to apologize to you, Don. No, I'm serious. This is actually. I really didn't get much sleep. I was dealing with some personal stuff. And I was over there late. And
personal stuff. Yeah.
On Twitter, a video went viral of a woman. Giving another group of people behind her, it looks like one other woman behind her, shit for kicking the back of her seat because she had reclined it. And it brought up a massive debate over the morals and ethics of the economy class airplane
section.
You should
bring your girlfriend into this conversation.
She knows all about them economy seats.
And when people are or are not allowed to or morally in the right to put their to recline their seat. It's a very interesting conversation.
No, it's not. It's not a conversation. There's no conversation. The seats recline. The planes were built for seats to recline.
Yep.
If you have a problem with the person in front of you reclining a seat, you are the problem.
Yep. I agree with you.
What? There's no argument.
Well, if this ever
happens to me, I don't know how to handle it without getting violent.
I agree with you.
Mike Tyson him.
No, I agree with you. I feel the same.
Bust
and that was my
plane.
That was my sentiment on it. But just know there is a bit of a debate. There is a school of people who believe that in economy you shouldn't recline your seat without asking first. Without asking
That's
the person.
Interesting.
Now, no. The way I look at it is when you're in economy, everyone in economy suffers together. We are there to
like Barry's boot camp.
Exactly. To work together to get through this flight. That's the only goal as a team. Okay. Mm-hmm. So as a team, if you're telling me that everyone is going to sit at a 90 degree, probably even more, a 88 degree angle. Like to a point of severe spinal pain where you have to go to Mount Sinai
and get a spinal tap.
And get a tap so that every person could have just another quarter inch of space to work on their laptop. We get it, bro. You're in economy. It sucks. It fucking sucks, especially if you're flying overseas
on a red eye and your knees are stuck in the seat of the person in front of you, regardless of recline, and you're working on your laptop like this, and you're eating old sandwiches or little bags of pretzels. Yeah, it sucks, dude. But does it have to suck even more? Like, you want the person, and this video went completely viral and turned into this massive debate. I really can't believe that people would expect you not to recline. Like, it's there's insane. A button there.
It's insane.
Put there by the airline saying, please, please resource whatever level of enjoyment you could find from this current torture that you have subjected yourself to in this seating arrangement. And now you can't use it because there's a fucking Karen behind you that's going to kick your seat the whole fucking time.
Imagine if all those people had the same attitude as the people in the marathon. Like, you see a person having an anxiety attack about to snap and you're just like, you know, we're almost there. You got this.
Doesn't
like,
happen.
Just stick it out a little Doesn't bit more, happen. You know? Feel but like, no, everybody just wants to kill each other on planes.
Yeah, it's always it on is. Planes. I like, just, love thy neighbor just goes out the window. Yeah, everyone's an enemy, including the flight attendants. I've had some good flight attendants, but I got to say, one thing that ticks me off, perhaps you gentlemen who are smarter than me can explain this to me. Why do we have to stow our tray tables and put our seats in the upright
because
position
need,
when we land?
No, you know
I don't.
Yes,
because
do.
What the fuck?
In the event
what
of kind an emergency,
in
the event
what
of
is
an
that going
to
do if the plane is going down?
Egress route. No, the plane. Maybe the plane,
egress.
Maybe the plane's not going down. Maybe as it's landing on the runway, a fucking tire pops off and the plane tilts on its side. A small fire is created in one of the cabins because they had at that time been heating up hash browns for the service during the flight. A small fire erupts. The fire trucks aren't able to get there on time.
Because my tray table is down.
The woman
because
said,
my seat
no,
is 2 inches further than it needs to be.
The woman's hair has caught on fire. She needs to get out of the seat. And since your table's down,
Little Miss Winters.
Guy.
I'm always a window seat guy.
On that
Miss
plane,
Winters
bro.
Is an aisle. She's not going to be affected by my tray table.
It doesn't. Okay, then how about if you can't get out? How about if your stupid mullet
so
catches
be
on fire?
So be
and
it.
You can't get out because of your fucking tray table. That's why.
That's
why.
Okay, explain the seat then. Why does my seat need
because
to be in upright position?
Because the person behind you. We get it, Logan. This doesn't affect you in your first class cabin. Okay.
I fly economy. I lied.
In the economy section, the egress can potentially be blocked by the 1/4 of a centimeter recline that those seats go back.
So, yo, let the fucking reggies put their seat in upright position. Can I get some sort of first class voucher? I'm the U.S. champ, dog. I want to sit there with my seat reclined while we land, my feet up and the tray table out, eating my souffle.
Yeah.
Leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
I'm a U.S. champ, son.
You ever notice some of the flight attendants don't always like do their job fully? Like, I land sometimes like just completely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are my favorites.
My faves.
On the way
my
out, favorite. I'm like, what's going on, brother? Appreciate good. You, man.
Sometimes
and they know the handshake.
Yeah, you can get away with it.
You know what I'm saying?
You can get away with it.
What about exit row when they ask you, like, are you willing to assist
no.
if something goes down?
Dude.
No, you got to say yes, otherwise you can't sit
you
there.
Say, verbal yes.
But what are they asking you? You know?
If the plane crashes into the side of a mountain, okay? Or into the water and smashes into 1,000 pieces. Are you going to memorize the steps to save everyone on this plane? That's what they're asking. Oh, you want another 2 inches of leg room? You now have to be the savior for every human on this aircraft, Jeff Wittig.
But if you're in the exit row, you're getting the fuck out.
Immediately.
I bought a parachute.
No, one last thing. Very last thing.
You bought a pair of shoes?
Babies. First of all, in general, just as a general statement, but then on planes.
Yeah.
I don't think they should be there. I don't think they should be there. I think there needs to be a service of some kind.
Under the plane.
To,
put them
that
under,
that would
the
be
dog.
Number one, or to ship your babies
yeah.
from where you're, from where, and I got a lot of shit for this on Twitter because I did.
Call oh my there. God. I have it.
The U.S. championship belt.
I have that too. You came up with that brilliant idea, I gotta say.
Explain.
To put the dogs on their own flight.
Oh, yeah.
Terrier.
Yeah.
Right? You can travel with your fellow pet companion.
Yeah.
And you it's fine. It's allowed, yeah. right? This service allows you to travel with your baby. Fuck it. Send the baby alone. And it's called Day Care. CAIR. Mm. Babies only. Mm. All crying, communicating to each other, talking baby. getting to their destination, parents pick you up.
You know what? Pixar movie.
Pixar movie.
Toddler.
Daycare.
I think they're both. I think
no, because there's a few chaperones.
Question for you: is there first class on that flight?
100%.
Do the seats recline?
Nah, because babies are kind of like mushy.
Yeah, they'll fall out.
Well, they don't need the same kind of support and structure that adults need. You ever seen like? You ever really seen a baby? No, dude. They're kind of like basically jello.
Yes, I understand that. But if you don't put your, this is from my studies. If you don't put your hand properly to support a baby's head, it falls off.
I've seen that.
It's just a known thing. It's Neil, I think, has kids. Have you ever lost any of their heads? Not yet. Babies on planes. Thank you for coming up with that idea. I had another one. Because they're starting to come up with sections now called baby-free zones. And you actually have to pay a premium to be in that section. It's a new plan. I don't know who rolled it out. Probably some ultra, airline, right? But what I was thinking was, because I also fly business class now. I'm blessed and it's amazing to be there. But people fly with their babies next to me in a bed. Like a little baby has his own business class and it just screams the whole time. It's just not a really good experience.
While it's frustrating, I get it. The baby has to travel with the parent. It's one of those things like, bro, I like a peaceful, quiet flight as well. I get upset when I have to stow my tray table and put my seat up right when we land. That upsets me. But if a baby's crying, you got to empathize with the parent.
I don't.
Come on. I want that baby. It's going to be you one day. Because it's going to be, if you plan on having kids, it's going to be you one day.
It made me not want to have kids.
Oh.
So I came up with this idea called
contraception. Plane edition.
Condoms. No, I came up with this idea called muffler. And what it is...
Oh, you already have a prototype?
Yeah, it's a mask. It's a mask that the baby wears, and it turns their screams into white noise. So it actually produces a calming effect for the plane. It utilizes the energy of the voice of the baby screaming their fucking agonizing brains out, and it turns it into white noise. I actually have packaging already, too.
It's so good.
This is the packaging. It has soft fit technology, which is hyperallergenic and gentle on baby skin. Adaptive noise cancellation, which turns cries into calming white noise.
No way you made that.
And we're currently my head of design did.
That's actually a really good idea.
And and we're currently working on a V2, which is a holiday base that turns it into Christmas music.
If your baby's wearing this thing, you may have an assassin baby. This is the most...
What are assassins, though, known for? Moving in silence. You never hear a single thing. You never hear a single word out of them, bro.
That's the best idea you ever had.
I'm just saying, brilliant. Bro. Think about it. You put this thing on the baby. Bro, have you ever heard... Hold on, listen to this. Watch this. Sorry. You got to hear this. You know when they reach screaming, like it's not just crying, like it's like when it seems like their head may explode as they scream. I'm sorry. I'm a very calm and patient person. I deal with a lot. I'm co-host with one of the most hated people in the world. Okay. But for some reason, that baby screaming like that, it fires me up on the inside. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel a putrid rage. That I want to self-harm.
Do you ever press the baby?
No, I would never. The babies are babies.
You ever catch a baby staring at you? Like, that's straight up disrespect.
I have no problem with that.
Rude.
It's the screaming, especially when we know a product like this exists. That parent, let me put it like this. If you're spending $4,000 to fly your baby in first class, your baby's got a little bib and is ordering fucking souffle and duck confit. You can afford to buy your baby a fucking a psychopathic mask to make their cries turn into white.
What's the price point on those masks?
Looking at like $299, probably. Okay. Radio Shack.
It's not bad. Radio Shack.
Does that particular store still exist?
They're making a comeback for this product.
What do you think I can know? Or what do you guys know? Yeah. Okay. I'm raising $10 million to get a prototype.
I'll be your first investor. I'm in. It's brilliant.
That's actually, and, I'm impressed.
Guess what? Both you guys have equity, regardless of if you invest. No, you know, everyone in this room has equity because I feel like you should take care of your people.
Yeah.
So did anybody win that $1 million bottle yet?
It's actually,
not that I know.
It's actually a billion.
It's a one in a million chance.
How?
Is it six digits?
Yeah.
Any random combination?
They made it. They made the odds crazy, crazy hard. I said one in 10,000, but I think they wanted to make it really competitive because in the last hour, the odds go down. It's like one in 10,000. And then I think in the last like 10 minutes, it's like one in 100. In the last minute, it's like one in 10.
Damn, I want to get over there. Let's wrap this up.
You have the best
up.
Odds in the last
Shut
hour,
the
I believe.
Fuck up. You don't tell us when we end our podcast.
Did you hear that?
You don't talk to Jeff like that.
I'm sick of both of you.
I'm about to go get $500,000.
No, you're not. You're not going to win. You already tried once. You lost. You failed miserably.
You missed everything you just said. At the end, it becomes easy.
It doesn't matter. You're not going to win. It's going to be like the time you lost to everyone at the marathon. Every other creator who beat you. Senseless. Just like you lose all your fights. I don't feel good when I do this stuff. I don't know how it makes you guys feel good. It doesn't make me feel good. I like being nice. That didn't make me feel good. That was good. That didn't make me feel good. Say something nice to Jeff.
I got him.
You have fantastic hair. Your skin looks great. You're a good-looking guy. People really like you.
I'd rather the insults. That was funny when you said that I lost that marathon.
I didn't like it. Didn't make me feel good on the inside. I see this all day on the from the streaming world.
I made a video on it. And when you called me to give me that nice like advice or whatever, that little pep talk, we put Jake Paul's brother's friend for you.
That's good.
Yeah.
Does it bother you that the guy who has run the fastest marathon ever in history did it at a speed twice as fast as you? Can you compute
that's insane.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, that's insane how those guys could do that. It really is nuts. It's an outright sprint for 2 hours.
How fast mileage is that? He's got to be going like 16.
14 miles per hour or something.
That's ridiculous.
Does he wear shoes?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Why do you ask?
I don't know. I felt like I had seen people run without shoes.
There's people that do a bunch of weird stuff, but they're not competing with the elites. Like those guys from Kenya, they are fucking, it's just insane. I don't get it. I don't get how it makes sense.
They got a special type of water, Mr. Beast water over there.
Fucking so white, dude. He's so white. I can't believe that happened, dude. He even predicted it. He said that he was going to get that negative feedback when
he gets feedback that's negative for doing something like objectively fucking amazing for humanity and the greater good, and also positive. Like everyone who's commenting, what are you doing besides just being a negative Nancy? It makes me lose a lot of faith in our species, like a lot. It really makes me feel like ants. Like we think we're this hyper advanced, like sentient conscious species doing cool things in this planet. No,
I don't think we've ever been dumber.
We're little
I don't think we've ever been dumber than we are right now.
More dumb, I think, would be the correct way to say it grammatically.
And I don't
think that includes us. That includes us. It's all of us.
We're all just haters.
Oh, exactly. We're all haters. That's it. We're all haters.
It's just crazy. Like, it's like even bringing
I wish I put those wells there, you know? And because I didn't, I'm going to bring him down.
Mr. Beast is real.
Mr. Beast,
I don't want to bring him down. I'm just saying that's what the people are saying. You know, I'm not one of those guys that are like fucking cancel him for putting those wells in
Africa. What, Dylan? What? What? Then tell me something else. You want to hug the wall like you're bored. Then give me another topic. Quick topic. How about some representation from the Mexican audience? Kevin, you got any comments? You're sleeping. We put half the fucking room to sleep with this podcast.
They were charging that family $50 for their kids being annoying at a restaurant. Back to the kid tax.
You got upcharged $50 for being annoying? Give us some fucking creds. Having paint on the table. That's what we did when we were kids. Now you hand kids an iPad. They shut up for 2 hours. Hell yeah, I'm going to hand my kid an iPad. Shut up. Shut up. Immerse yourself in this world. Blocks? Maybe I'll give him a block.
I think Jeff has something. And I see it in his face. It's going to be good, too.
Why?
Because you I know you found something in that device of yours, and you looked up like you got something. What do you got?
Mark Zuckerberg tore his ACL recently,
Yeah.
Right after Elon Musk went on Joe Rogan and was like, you know what? I'll fucking fight him anytime, anywhere, any martial art. And Joe Rogan was like, are you serious? Like, now it's going to have to happen, you know? And then the next day, ACL gets torn.
Yeah.
I think that there's some conspiracy going on there. Like, Elon somehow fucking Neuralink tore that ACL.
Nortor.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't just a random, like, he was training that day and it tore.
Could
you
imagine being capable of sabotage at that level? Like, at a nano level? Like, you don't like somebody, you fucking give him a stroke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And no one could trace it back to, yo, stroke him out.
He could definitely do shit like that.
I wish Elon Musk would stroke me out, bro.
I wish I could tear Cody Ko's ACL like that.
Would you do that if you could? It would give you, if it gave you a leg up at the next marathon? Or
hell yeah.
Or
I could just snap my fingers.
No, because then you would just join the Casey's marathon and you would win. Yeah. Cody Ko would win the marathon. Easy, bro.
Yeah.
He's a wheelchair expert, dude, I bet.
He works hard. Yeah, if I could just snap Casey's leg.
Casey's nice that,
yeah. He's such a good guy, and he's always so nice to me, but it's just competition, you know?
100%.
This ain't a team sport.
Well, you remember what Tanya Harding did to Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah, I would do some shit like that.
Dude, I could see that fucking story happening.
And it's Jeff Cody.
Wittick. Yeah, and it's Cody Pedrino.
Evil Cody. Yeah, Mike.
Who
my Cody.
Smashed Casey Neistat's knee with a pipe right before the 2024 Olympics. Or what's it called? Marathon. And he's like, damn, bro, you would do that? You would assault someone like that? Let me ask you one last question.
I wouldn't do that. Hell yeah. I would do that shit.
Let me ask you one last question, Jeff and Logan Paul, U.S. champion. What do you guys think about Sean Strickland? Man, that dude is out of control right now, bro.
I like that he's the champ now, mixing it up a little bit, talking shit to
bro,
everyone.
He is talking shit to everybody, bro. He's been going at everybody. He even went at the Nelk boys on Twitter the other day, and he was like, he said, yo, I got to watch an episode of the Nelk boys podcast. Like it was the first time he ever seen it. He was on the Nelk Boys podcast. and Kyle like retweeted it and said, Bud forgot he was on the podcast.
Yeah.
But like, he's like, you know, when you like, it's like, he's so anti-influencer, which makes so much sense to me. And I get it. Like, dude, sometimes I feel very like, I generally lead with like, yo, I'm an author. When I meet people, you could lead with like, yo, I started a business. Like, you're a barber. Or like whatever you want to lead with, because like,
is that what you would lead with?
Celebrity or like you make products.
Say celebrity barber. No, I mean, I own a beauty and hygiene hair care line. Podcaster.
Yeah, all I'm getting at there is there's a lot of like negative sentiment towards influencers, right? So like, I get that. I'm with Sean Strickland on that, but oddly, it seems like once he started like tweeting and seeing like all them likes and retweets and shit, now he like has been tweeting more, you know what I'm saying? So like, I feel like he's starting to feel like what it feels like to be an influencer, and he's liking it.
It's that dopamine hit.
Yeah
people are fucking with you. Yeah, they're riding with what you're saying. Yeah. He's outlandish, he says whatever the fuck he wants, and we're in a day and age where that's awesome. Everyone loves that. It's what you say, he's spicing it up. He's he's shifting through the landscape a little bit. I want Izzy to win, you know. Izzy's my boy, but he was a better man that night, and he's entertaining. I gauge a lot of how I feel about things, or maybe even people, about how entertained I am.
What do you think about this tweet from Sean Strickland, by the way? We need to have an open conversation about seeing dicks. Just understand what he led with, the starter, the appetizer for there. I'll change in a locker room and people get uncomfortable. Bro, you literally jerk off to dudes all the time in porn, yet me changing throws you off? Bunch of closeted gays, LMAO. Like, what was he thinking? That's a real tweet, bro. That's a real tweet. Like, what?
The tides are shifting.
Towards what, Jeff? The tides are shifting towards what, Jeff?
That's what people want now. You know, if you said that 5 years ago, I'd be like, oh, whoa, whoa.
No,
whoa.
No, no. The one thing, this has nothing to do with Sean, because something already tells me he's gonna see this and respond to it. But now when you just if you just say something outlandish, people will support it because they think you're going against the tide of like not saying outlandish shit. Does that make sense? Like you're fighting back against like woke censorship.
Wokeness is under attack.
No, good. Thank God I hate it. People, but that's not going to make me go out there and just start being like, you know, yo, gays.
You know who's really slashing the woke army?
Who?
Candace Owens. I'm just saying. I've seen some clips of her with the saber.
Is she still around?
Yeah.
She actually, I'm not going to lie. She probably gets way more views than us. She probably gets hella fucking.
Yeah, but what is that? What does
do
that
remember
mean?
What is it?
Wait, no, why is that your metric for success? What is that your metric for? Like, what is that? Is that, there's more things than views.
I mean, as a performance metric for a show, I feel like that probably would be the main.
I think she probably does get more views than us.
Remember when she said I had an underbite?
You do.
Do you remember? I don't have an. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Like that was
no, but that's
she
could have
said so many things about me, and she said I had an underbite, which I don't.
You should honestly be grateful because she took a little dagger and shanked you a little bit. Versus, I've seen some clips of her recently, dual blades off the back, around the neck, throat cutting motherfuckers when she's out giving her speeches at college campuses. Everyone loves a woman who can kick ass.
She's been doing that for a while,
especially a pregnant woman who can kick ass. And Candace, she's been ending wokeness single-handedly, I think.
I think it's over.
It's on the way out.
It's
on
the way out,
anyways.
Huh?
It's over.
Will it come back? Will wokeness come back?
No, well, yeah,
I think it
in
will.
5 years.
Everything seems cyclical. Yeah, cyclical. We're going to forget. It's a pendulum. Shit.
That's right. Sean Strickland is now the ideal human. That is.
But all of those are like little characters compared to, I mean, Trump was the one that really ran.
I think we may see Trump tonight.
This UFC card that has no significant battle whatsoever.
Yeah. What?
That's not true.
It's insane. Every fight is a fucking coin flip. I can't even pick.
They might be close fights, but once John Jones backed out,
they're not huge names, but they're great fights and great fighters. And I can't let you disparage the organization that Prime sponsors.
It's fine. You have that. I'm the announcer for Karate Combat League anyway, so I don't give a shit. I really am. I'm gonna be the announcer for Karate Combat League.
Oh yeah, Jake Paul fighting a guy December 15th.
Not pay per view.
Non pay per view. He wants to build his resume. He wants to give the fans an experience, and he wants to really be a boxer. So he's fighting a real boxer. This is 10-1. He's a beast. I think his name's August. He hits hard. He's fast. I get what Jake's doing, but yo, you gotta win. You got to win, because if this no-name comes and starts fucking up your record and what you're trying to build for the rest of your life for free, on a free fight on DAZN, it could be, I don't like the optics of that. But yeah, December 15th in Orlando.
It's my birthday, damn.
Oh, shit. Oh,
what's the date?
Let's go.
December
15th? Mm-hmm. That's also the date of my first Karate Combat show. I'm not kidding, bro. I have to say that. It's a cool event. I'm not doing it.
It is cool. It is cool.
Thank you. I'm hosting it with George St. Pierre.
I think it's great. I think it's great.
It's a cool league. It's a cool league. I love UFC, bro, obviously. But like, I think we can have more than one. What do you always say? It's not an if world, but an or world? Or something?
It's not an or world. It's an and world.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
It is. It is. It's not like, oh, I got to watch this or that. No, it's this and
this
that.
Is like an interesting new combat league. I'm not prepared to talk about it yet. I don't have the messaging points down, and I don't want to ruin it. I believe that it is a strike first league, that when the combatants go to the ground, they're stood back up. So it's a striking,
but
heavy,
elbows, knees,
like I said,
headbutts.
When I come back on a future episode, I will give a much better description.
I can't believe they got you to commentate it.
Color commentary.
Oh, you know why I like it though?
Challenge.
Is that what you just said?
Color. Yeah.
Because GSP will get all the technical shit, and you're gonna be funny.
Yes.
That's
exactly.
Great. It's great.
Wonder what this guy ate for breakfast this morning.
You have an important job. You have a very important job. I'll say this.
Yeah.
Commentators don't get enough credit. I chop up my WWE highlights and post little highlight reels after my matches. So I'm watching these matches pretty in depth, and I'm listening to the commentators, and the commentators in the WWE, UFC, any sporting organization are
incredible.
So good. They drive the entire show, I'd argue. Like, we're listening to what they have to say. their energy and their voice is what is contagious for the viewer. Like, it's really fucking important. And they sit there for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours in the UFC if they do the prelims.
Yeah.
Just talking about the same shit.
I would almost rather watch fights on TV just to hear, like, Joe Rogan and, mm-hmm. and DC and mm-hmm. John Anik talk about it, you know, because it's just...
It's great. We like them.
Do you know these two fighters for December 15th?
Let's just not go tonight. Let's just all watch it.
I'm down here, a little sister.
Yeah, we'll just get a little TV.
Watch it on our phones. Do you know Anthony Pettis and Benson Henderson? They had two big fights. This is their trilogy fight.
I don't know.
Oh, is that karate combat stuff?
Yeah.
I think I know Anthony Pettis. I think he's the dude, I think, who hopped off the wall.
Yep, that's him.
And kicked the guy in the face and knocked him out. Yes. That's cool. That was cool.
Yeah. He was a champ once.
That's some karate shit.
Yeah,
karate
so they're combat. Having their trilogy fight. And F1 Vegas this weekend.
I have to go antiquing.
Wait, what was that last part?
I'm going to go antiquing.
What's the word you're saying at the end?
Antiquing.
Antiquing.
Like shopping for antiques.
Oh, you're going antiquing.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Impulsive Guys. Jeff Witek, thanks for coming on. You ran the New York City Marathon. Round of applause.
Congrats, a billion bottles of Prime Soak. U.S. champion.
Let's go. We did good. We did good.
Brain magnets.
Thank you. Guys, sorry for my performance.
It's great. Subscribe. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.